The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off racing.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Darren Owen, John Budden and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Newmarket, Salisbury and Beverley on Thursday afternoon, Chepstow and Fontwell domestically on Thursday evening, and we also have racing over in Ireland from Leopardstown as well. So six meetings to look forward to, plenty to talk about. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio, it's Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mr. John Boy Walton. And I'm in very good form indeed, fellow. I'm just sort of getting myself relaxed and ready for the Naismar next week.
Yes, no doubt. You'll be in the champagne bar in a couple of days, Pimmy. And you go every year, don't you, to the...
Oh, yes. Yeah. Every year.
Yeah.
Can't miss that, can we?
Well, no.
Days of the gone when I used to manage the 3 days midweek at the Eber Festival. 4 days, too long for an old man now.
While we're on the subject of York, plenty of things to talk about on today's podcast, but we'll start with the Judmont International, which should see Australia taking on Telescope. And Sir Michael Stout said that he's on target to challenge the Derby winner.
Oof, yeah, well, he's on target. Yeah, he'll have to be more on target, I feel, though, because Australia does seem to be the one they've all got to beat in that big race at York. I think the step back 2 furlongs will be absolutely ideal for Australia because he travels with so much zest and enthusiasm, and he looks like that a mile and two more than likely would actually be his best trip, whereas Telescope hasn't actually won under less than a mile and a half, so he might just find the pace a little bit too hot on the Naismar. But a great race to savour and look forward to, and hopefully that will get the Yorkshire people cheering.
Mm. Australia 8-13 with us at the moment for the Judmont International. Telescope is 4-1. Macadram 5s, 10-1 for Kingston Hill, 12s for the Grey Gatsby, 14-1 for Noble Mission and Trading Leather. A-Rod is 16s and True Stories, the 33-1 outsider. Australia should be better at a mile and a quarter, whereas Telescope would have to be at his absolute best to beat Australia anyway, and the drop in trip's not necessarily what he wants.
I think, you know, the plus is for Australia, the negative is for Telescope there as well, regarding the distance. I think the interesting horse there, it could be Kingston Hill.
Yeah.
Because he might, depending on what happens between now and there, just get a little bit of cut in the ground on the Naismar. I think William Darby said yesterday that the ground is currently good to soft, but we've all had an awful lot of rain. I'm 20 minutes away from York Racecourse. We had an awful lot of rain again last night, despite it's a bit breezy and a bit bright today. But, you know, and again, the Naismar not quite as bad as it used to be for holding the water since that new drainage system's gone in. So if we got good to soft ground, I think that'll be the worst we'll get. But if we got perfect good ground, then again, Australia all the way in it.
Yeah. Hard to see past with conditions in his favour.
No, but Kingston Hill with a good to soft bit of cut, he might be the each way value on it.
Well, 10-1, you can do worse each way bets, I imagine. Just keeping in mind where Kingston Hill goes, though, because they have got an entry in the Geoffrey Freer as well, at Newbury.
Right.
And I think they're waiting for the ground sea, which is better for the day, like. So keep an eye on that. Good festival to look forward to. We've also got a good race coming up in France on Sunday, where we're going to see Kingman back in action, and John Gosden being very bullish about him after his piece of work on Wednesday morning, saying that he feels he's in better shape than ever. Richard Hannan's going to probably rely on Olympic glory. This time it looks he's going to have to go some to catch Kingman, isn't it?
Well, he was just so impressive, wasn't he, last time, Kingman? He was given such a confident ride by James Doyle as well. And of the two, who would you say is better, Tornado or Olympic Glory?
I don't know. You made a very good point before we recorded this.
I think if we put Olympic Glory and Tornado together, they still wouldn't beat Kingman, to be honest. You know, obviously the hands are fairly tied as far as where they can go with this type of horse. And again, my old boss Michael Dickinson used to say, never be frightened of one, which you can't be frightened of one, because if he doesn't turn up on the day and your body swerved him, you know, you've lost an opportunity. But to be fair, what you've just said, that Gosden was waxing lyrical about Kingman's rude health, that concerns me for the opposition, because if he's better than what he was when we saw him at Ascot last time, then it's going to take a mighty good one to lower his colours, that is for sure. By the same token, isn't it brilliant that we've got another superstar about?
Yeah, it is, yeah. He's really, he's been one of the shining lights of this season, hasn't he, Kingman?
Oh, fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And again, he's proven, you know, what a master of his trade John Gosden is, because he's been very patient, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Just took his time, let the horse do the talking. And again, James Doyle, he's growing into a fully established and top flight pilot now, but by getting the opportunities on these superstar horses can only help his move up the ladder, can't it?
Yeah, really good Group 1 to look forward to on Sunday then. As of next year, Pimmy, we'll have a new Group 1 to look forward to at Royal Ascot. Been announced on Wednesday morning as we record this that they're going to add a 3-year-old only Group 1 over 6 furlongs on the Friday of Royal Ascot next year.
That sounds really good
to
me.
Looks good, doesn't it?
Sounds very positive. It looks like they've sat down, had a think about it. Three-year-olds often find it very difficult against the older horses at that time of year. They've now got their own championship race, a Group 1, just for the same ages. I think it's a real positive, that. Real positive. And I think, you know, that can only benefit the meeting.
Yeah, it looks it replaces the 7-furlong Britannia handicap, so Buckingham Palace Stakes, sorry. So replacing a handicap with a Group 1, that's always good news.
Sounds positive to me, that's for sure.
Yeah, and they've changed a few of the sprints. They're trying to make the competition a bit stronger, the sprint side of things, and they're going to upgrade the Champions Sprint on Champions Day, British Champions Sprint, from a Group 2 to a Group 1. So good news there as well.
Yeah, positive. But is that an all-age race, the Champions Sprint?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which sounds good to me.
Yeah.
The more we can have of the Group 1s, and the better, isn't it? So we've got the creme a la creme, so to speak, performing.
Yeah. Yes. There is a slight change as well to the current sprints. Three-year-olds will no longer be able to run in the King Stand.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they've got their own championship race now, yeah. So why pit them in against the older horses? Basically, that's what they're saying, isn't it? You know, I mean, you couldn't fathom that out, but that's simply what they've actually done, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's what they've done, yeah.
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 All good.
Yeah. Fair enough. One other thing to talk about, Pimmy. There's quite a lot in the paper, as we record this on Wednesday morning, talking about how to get younger audiences into racing, and just an interesting little bit in the Dickler section, talking about a boat race-style Oxford against Cambridge.
Yeah, but I believe it's what they're going to call the varsity horse race, where I think the 5 riders from each uni, from Oxford and Cambridge, will don the colours. I know you were an Oxford blue.
Yeah.
But what was I, a Cambridge what?
It's also blue, isn't it?
Is it?
I think so, yes.
Right. So how are we going to work that out?
It's different blues.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Were you a light blue or a dark blue?
I don't know.
Right.
The difference. But they will don their respective blues.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe with different coloured hats or something.
Yeah, maybe.
So the commentator for that day, we don't want any of our Muppets doing that one, do we? If that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
And will it be on the Rolly Mile, that, you think? It's just, I'm worried if it's the Rolly Mile, we haven't got Stevie Powell there. If it's the July course, we're all right.
It should be the Rolly Mile, shouldn't it?
It should be, I would think so, yeah. So we're not burdened with Stevie. But no, it sounds a great idea, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And don't know who come up with the idea, but it sounds like it's good. It sounds positive as far as they're going to get the you know, the younger element into it. If they're going to uni, they've obviously got a little bit about them. And hopefully, they might go on to bigger and better things and continue to come to the sport of kings, come to the day's racing, have a great day out, and well, we look forward to that on is it Champions Day, October the 17th, Future Champions Day.
Yeah.
So that sounds good to me. I do believe I've had a little bit of a psst regarding this. I think that the pilots are already been dispersed to trainers to try and get them up to speed and get them into some sort of shape and fitness so that they are going to look the part, certainly.
Good stuff. It's exciting stuff. Anything else?
I think it's a positive mood, don't you?
I do, yes. I think there's a few positive moves in the paper today, which is good.
Yeah.
Anything else caught your eye in the news?
Not really. I mean, again, very much about the first day at Wolverhampton with the Tapita. That seems like it's going to be good. Needs a bit of time to settle in and maybe at least a little bit of rain on it just to bed it in a bit. But everything seemed positive re that. And basically, you know, next few days is a little bit of a lull before the storm. I think the feature race of the weekend is the St Wilfred at Ripon. Can't work this out Sunday. Pontefract and Sutherland, two only meetings on Sunday, two tracks within an hour of each other. Okay, different codes, flat and jumping, but that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No.
But for me, that's what one of the negatives of the day.
Okay. Fair enough, and on that note, we'll move on. Let's look at Thursday's racing then. Pimmy's got a race at Newmarket and a couple at Salisbury Forest, so we'll get his thoughts in a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
OK, on to Thursday then. The first race that we're going to look at is the 3:15 at Newmarket, and this is a Class 4 handicap for three-year-olds and older. It's over 7 furlongs, and we're left with 10 of them in the lineup because Global Leader, the hat-trick-seeking Global Leader, is now a non-runner. So that changes the look of the race a little bit. Pimmy, what do you like in here?
Changes the whole complex of the race, doesn't it? Global Leader being an absentee. Prior to, you know, with having him in the official declarations, I thought, yeah, he looked like he could go and land the hat-trick, but that's not going to be the case. Leaves the race wide open, to be perfectly honest, because of that. I thought Bluegrass Blues ran well enough last time out. He is a course and distance winner in the past. He has got the blinkers on for the first time as well, but me and Paul Cole don't gel, I'm afraid. Mm. So I couldn't go down that route. Regal Dan, he kept on the same pace last time out when he was 9th of 18 behind Hillbilly Boy at Donny. He'd more than likely need to up his game from that. Spiritual Star looks interesting. The Tony Carson runner, he's got the tongue tie on the five-year-old. He ran 13 days ago and didn't run too badly behind Meet Me Halfway here at headquarters, and that was over the same trip of 7 furlongs there. And the other horse I thought was interesting was Percento. We saw him 8 days ago, this fella, when he ran well enough behind Mime Dance, finishing second on that occasion, beating half a length. And he could come into the equation there. Oh, to be fair, he did actually have the run of the race at Brighton last time out. And so that might have slightly flattered him. But of the others, none of them have really been putting in too many good performances of late. And you'd have to think that Spiritual Star, on the back of that reasonable fourth last time out, can hopefully get his head in front tomorrow.
Okay, Spiritual Star then, the selection in the 3:15 at Newmarket. To the 3:25 at Salisbury we go next, and this is a Phillies handicap over a mile and a half. It's for three-year-olds and older, 8 of them in the lineup here. Pimmy, we've got Opera Fan, who arrives here in winning form, having bounced back at Ripon last week. Sleeper arrives here on the back of 2 wins, chasing the hat-trick. Do you see it between those two, or is there something else?
No, I think you've basically named the two main protagonists there. Opera Fam, as you say, she really did bounce back to winning ways last time out at Ripon in a 0-75 handicap. She was the 9-4 favourite on occasion, and she won by 6 lengths. So they've obviously had to come to the race course very quickly with a £6 penalty, because the handicapper would more than likely taken a dim view of that success last time out. But, you know, often the Mark Johnson horses are very tough and consistent. When they hit form, they continue on upward curve, and she certainly is a main player tomorrow afternoon. Sleeper, well, she's looking for the hat-trick from the very much informed yard of Rafe Beckett, and she bids for the hat-trick, and she won well last time out, beating Shining Glitter by a length. That was at Kempton in a Phillies handicap over today's trip of a mile and a half, and again, you could see her running a big race again, despite that £6 penalty for that success last time out. I thought the other horse that's interesting is Pink Diamond. She's very tough, very consistent. I didn't think things went particularly well for her last time out when she was behind Loch Alsh at Foss Lass. And again, I think if you look back at her previous form when she was second and a winner prior to that, I think that form might just give her a little bit of a squeak tomorrow afternoon. But do I go for Opera Fan? Do I go for Sleeper? Both successful last time out, or do I forgive Pink Diamond that disappointing run a couple of days ago? I'm going to forgive and forget It's Pink Diamond.
Okay. Pink Diamond, then Pimmer's in a forgiving mood there in the 3:25 at Salisbury. And the final race we're going to look at is the big race of the day there. It's the 4 o'clock, which is the Sovereign Stakes, a Group 3 for three-year-olds and older, over a mile. We have 11 of them in the lineup here, Pimmy. So plenty of choice on offer. Who'd you like here?
Well, this is a smashing race. I should imagine this is one of the highlights of this season at Salisbury. A Group 3 race with £42,532 to the winner. And obviously, getting that Group 3 status is all important as well. As you'd imagine, top trainers are represented here. Roger Charlton, Andrew Balding, Richard Hannon, Mike de Kock with Rerouted, Syed Bin Saror, Richard Hannon, and even Michael Appleby, who's having a great time of it once again this season, is represented here by Cordite. But I think the favourite here, Yuften, is the one that we've got to focus on. Again, ran really well, I thought, in defeat in a Group 1 at Chantilly last time out when he was fourth of seven, just at 1 1/4 lengths behind Charm Spirit. And I thought that form is very strong indeed. If you're working this race out on official ratings, he comes here with a mark of 116. And with that, he's about 4-5 pounds clear of many of the others on official ratings. So that certainly gives him a bit of an edge. And again, William Haggis, absolutely rampant form at the moment. He's certainly very, very much on the hot list. And I think his rich vein of form can continue into tomorrow. Let me just remind myself of the Haggis form. 10 winners from 31 runners in the last 14 days. That's as we record on Wednesday morning. So his horses are in rampant form. I thought the other one that could be interesting, who for me has slightly underachieved of late, and that's Tahid for the Boys in Blue. But again, he could just maybe up his game a little bit tomorrow and certainly be a player at an each-way price.
Okay, but you're signing with Yuften?
Yuften it is for me. Yep. Each-way Tahid. I think the main danger to the favourite would be Richard Hannon and Richard Hughes and Producer.
Okay, good stuff, Pimmy. Let's just have a quick summary, if you'll spin us through your selections for Thursday one more time.
Yeah, so we are looking towards the 3:15 at Newmarket, the handicap there. I'm looking in the shape of Spiritual Star to get the job done for us there. In the fillies, only handicap in the 3:25 at Salisbury, going to take a chance with Pink Diamond. And in the feature race of the day at Salisbury, the Group 3 Sovereign Stakes, the pin has fallen on Yuften.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Good luck with your selections and enjoy on Thursday.
Look forward to it.
So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. It'll be Darren Owen, John Budden and Gary Capewell in the studio. We have Newmarket and Salisbury and Beverley in the afternoon, Chepstone Fontwell in the evening domestically, and there's also an evening card in Leopardstown. So plenty of racing to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.